Welcome to the Fairest Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it's by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie Hinderer, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome to another week.
Another week, another day, another dollar.
I know. And now, and this week, this is a rough week for some people. First week of Lent.
Some people really don't like that.
It's true. I actually really kind of enjoy Lent, which is weird. But anyway, we're going to get into that later. But yeah, today's Ash Wednesday. Crazy.
I always find it funny when
tomorrow will be Ash Wednesday, actually.
I always find it funny when people are like, I can't believe you like fast and don't eat. And I'm like, this intermittent fasting is like a cool thing now. Like,
I know.
Catholics have been doing it. Like, they're the OG intermittent fasters. Like, this is really not that big of a deal.
I think it's so funny how so many practices that were like big in the church back in the day as mortification practices are now super trendy in the health space, such as fasting, right?
Intermittent fasting,
cold showers, right? Like monks back in the day, I remember learning this when I took history of the church in high school, but like monks used to go and like jump in cold lakes as a mortification for their bath.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like cold plunge.
Do you know what? And we'll talk about this later today, but there's a lot of psychological benefits to what Catholics would call mortifications, and whatever, the secular world's not going to really call it that, and that's completely fine, but there are psychological benefits, right? The church isn't asking us to do this because it's not good for us. The church is asking us to do this because body, mind, and soul, this makes us better. And so, but before we dive into that, we always start our episode with a joy of the week. So Katie, what's your joy?
Ooh, what's my joy? I think my joy actually for this week is I had an employee who was out for the last 2 months because she had given birth at the start of January, which was amazing, her little Benjamin, and now she's back. And I have missed her. Our whole team has missed her, but I have missed her a lot. She's kind of my second in charge for the company and whatnot, and so she's back. So I'm very happy that this is day two of her being back in action.
Good. That's great.
Yeah.
I would say this week, or recently at least, I've started seeing clients in person. I kind of decided to get an office space once a week, and I love it. I have missed being in person with people. Not that online therapy can't be beneficial. It's absolutely beneficial. It's just, I think I've missed the in-person people to people. And so I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that's great. I love that you're doing that for people too. I'm sure there are some people who really prefer the online space, but some that really prefer the in-person.
Yeah, I think, well, teens, I think, just feel more comfortable. I think there's this like paranoia, like my parents are listening, and I'm like, doubtful. Maybe some, but like doubtful.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about coming into this space that's like exclusively for you. You get to like close the door and leave those problems behind, and you don't have to worry that anybody's listening. Like there's also like a very, we could probably do a whole episode on the importance of being in person one-on-one with people.
Sure.
And just kind of like the depths of the benefits that that's going to cause. So regardless, anyways, here we are.
Here we are. I love it. I love it. Okay. So our thought exercise from last week, which was part two of the Rushing Woman series. If you've listened to that, if you haven't, go back and listen to it because it's fascinating. I mean, we say that every week, but it really is fascinating. I'm like obsessed with this idea. But our thought exercise was to kind of look at either different areas of our life where we could slow down and stop rushing and like, what would those look like? Or like how we could implement some of the ideas that we talked about in the previous two episodes into different areas of our life as well. So I'm curious, Monica, what are you thinking from that?
Yeah, I'm trying to be very intentional about not multitasking. So it's like, if I'm doing my notes, I'm doing my notes. If I'm watching TV, I'm watching TV. If I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And I've even gone so far as to like, if I'm writing my process notes or I'm doing something more like admin related, like not listening to music, even like music where I know the words, because I want to sing along. So then I'm like, my focus and attention is being pulled. And so even like being more cognizant of like the music that I'm putting on and what I'm putting it on, and just like not always needing to kind of clutter my life with noise.
Sure.
So that's,
I think that's a really good one. As we talked about in those episodes, like I've been working on this, not multitasking, which is super hard. Like, I don't think people understand like how difficult it is to not multitask. In fact, I was just telling a friend about it, this past week, and she was like, wait, like not at all. And I was like, I mean, really? No. And I said, I'm not even listening to podcasts while I walk the dog anymore. Or like, I'm not. Like, I'll have music on when I walk the dog sometimes, maybe, but sometimes I'll just do it in silence. And what I find really frustrating about it, I will tell you, is like I'm reading less and I'm like getting in less podcasts and like just taking in less information, which for me is really, really difficult, but it probably is really good. But that's really hard. So, and then I think one of the areas that I've kind of been applying this more after that episode that I hadn't really thought about before is actually in my prayer life. Mm. So I think I realized as I was going through this, often I was thinking, or like for a long time, I've thought that it's easier for me when I kind of like journal out my prayer. So I'm like writing, I spend a lot of time writing and like writing these things out and whatever. And then I'll like maybe be listening to something to help me think about it and then journaling and then, and that kind of thing. And I was realizing like, oh, I think I'm like trying to multitask my prayer too. Ooh. Where I'm like trying to talk to our Lord, but then trying to write it all down, but then trying to do this, but trying to do that. Mm. So I've actually taken to writing less, which is harder for my concentration. Cause like when I'm writing, I can like stay really focused on the thing at hand. But I find, I think I'm actually praying more deeply as a result, because I'm not sitting there being like, oh, I gotta write this out, like I gotta make sure I get this all down on paper, that kind of a thing. And then sometimes I'll like get to the end or even in the middle sometimes, and I'll like write down a thought or two that I had so that I can remember it and go back and pray about it later. But that so that's one area that I'm trying to practice this in, which is challenging.
I love that. But good, that's awesome. All right, ready to dive in?
Yeah, let's talk Lent. Do you know what you're giving up? Well, Lent technically starts tomorrow. We release on Tuesdays, so you have one more day to think about it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what I'm giving up. I'm debating between a lot of things. I do know one thing that I'm doing because, I want to be like, I think more and more in my life as I've gotten older. I mean, I think I was always this way as a child where I was like, why? Mm. But I think as I've gotten older and I've encountered so many different people in life, and that's really, honestly, truly a blessing of how single I've been. Mm-hmm. I've had this freedom to encounter so many people because I've been able to travel and I've been able to move and I've been able to date like a lot of different types of people. So there's like this really beautiful encounter that happens when you're just dating around. If you let it be, right? If you like don't make it so serious and you're just encountering this person in front of you. And so more and more, I've been like really trying to very deeply reflect on like the why behind everything and like, why are we doing what we're doing? And how do I do it in relationship with God and in love with God, as opposed to doing what I was told to do and kind of operating spiritually in autopilot?
Yeah.
And so in the church, right, Lent is actually four things, which I think most people, particularly secular people, like they don't realize that. Like everyone thinks that it is about mortification, right? Like, what are you giving up? And that's part of the penitential aspect of Lent. But there's also the expectation that we're increasing prayer and almsgiving. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I know for sure that I'm going to be doing is volunteering throughout Lent. I mean, hopefully like further, but I was like, oh yeah, this is like a moment, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a part of my almsgiving, but the exact like mortification or thing that I'm going to give up, I'm not entirely like sure of yet. I've got some things like percolating, but I got to just solidify it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this idea. Let's talk, let's focus in first on almsgiving then. Cause I think that's a great idea, right? Like I think it's true. So often we think of Lent as like, okay, well I got to pray a little bit more. Like maybe I'll do Season of the Cross and like, I'm giving up chocolate.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I guess. But like, giving alms is one of the things. And like, what can that look like, right? Like, and I think often we think of alms, well, when we hear it like that, we think of it as money, but I think it can be time, treasure, talents.
It's giving.
Money, right? Like it could be any or all of those things.
Yeah. And I think why? Like, why does the church ask us to participate in almsgiving during Lent? And the point is that Lent is a reflective time, not just like of our sins. Like that feels very like almost like puritanical of like, shame on you, you sinner, and repent. Right. Yikes.
But of our own mortality too, you know, of the reality of this life is ending.
Yeah. But more so, I think the point in being it's a reflection of like ourself in relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe how we've like fallen short in relationship and how we can like love him better. Mm-hmm. So it's not about like, give these things up so you're a better person. It's like, give these things up so that you're growing deeper in relationship with God. And every relationship, whether it be with friends or with family or a significant other or in, you know, the convent, the center, wherever you're at, requires sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It requires me to give of myself, to die of myself in selflessness for the other person.
Right.
And to be reflective on the times in which I have fallen short.
Yeah. And I think giving alms, giving of our time, treasure, talent, money is a really good way of doing that, right? Because it forces us to be like outside of ourselves, not so focused. Because even mortification sometimes can be super focused on ourselves, right? Like I'm giving up chocolate, right? And I'm not going to eat this. I'm like, no, I can't have that. Whereas almsgiving, right? We're like, we're pouring ourselves out into another, right? Or into something in order to give of ourselves so that someone else's life will be better,
right?
Instead of our own.
Yeah. And it's the church is saying, you know, in this time of sacrifice, yeah, we sacrifice things that we like and that we're comfortable with. We sacrifice for God. And like, but we're here to be in service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be in service to others. And, right. and it's the church reminding us of this. And I'm not going to lie, I, for probably a few years, I used to volunteer. I used to work and volunteer at a nonprofit in the city. But I now for years was like, but my profession is in service and therefore I am exempt, right? That like, but I give of myself all day, but I encounter all day. And I was actually like thinking about this recently that one of the beautiful parts about Lent is that like the church is offering me an opportunity to challenge my own limiting beliefs and my own perspective on things and to say, but can't you give more? But can't you love deeper?
Right. Well, and also too, like that we give in a different way when we give professionally versus kind of personally, I would say, is more like the almsgiving side, right? And I think anyone who's doing their profession well, whether they're front facing with people like you are or not, should be pouring themselves out in the service of their client, their company, their boss, their, you know, whatever. So I like that, you know, you're able to look at that and say like, well, actually, like, could I pour myself out more in this way? And I think there are so many ways to give alms too. And I think sometimes people are like, well, I just don't know where to go. Or I just don't know what to do. Well, like, just look it up, right? Like, I was looking at St. Louis, the Catholic Charities website lists all the different people who are looking for help, all the different organizations within Catholic Charities that are looking for help. And literally, it has all of them listed on their website. And you can just click a thing and fill out a form and like, boom, done, right? Like, there's so many different things. Or it doesn't even have to be through a formal thing. It doesn't mean you're going to a soup kitchen. It could be that you're, I don't know, picking up trash on the side of the road or bringing sandwiches to homeless people or whatever, right?
Yeah, and there are some ministries that what they need for you is prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can also sacrifice my time and offer a lot of like prayers for this mission and this intention, right? So this is, I think, the beautiful part about like prayer, fasting, almsgiving is that this is not, the church is not making this exclusive to the wealthy and able-bodied. Like, there's a way for everybody in every walk of life to grow in each of these areas. Now, we're just called to give what we have. Right? And so that's a reflection point of like, well, what do I have and what have I been given? And how can I grow, give through those lenses, through those means?
And I think too, like really thinking, you know, to add to that, thinking of our talents and like, how can we give more of that, right? So maybe, you know, like one of the things that my company decided to do this year was to give a year of free social media service to a nonprofit. And it was, you know, we were talking as a team and I was like, I don't know, I think we should do this year. I was like, what do you guys think? Because I obviously like the burden lands on my team to be able to do this. It's not just on me. And everyone was like, yeah, I think we should, right? Because this is a talent that we have. This is an ability that we have. And like, we could give that to someone else. So, you know, this year we're blessing a nonprofit down in Dallas with our services for an entire year. And I think that can be another way that we can think of giving is thinking like, okay, what am I really good at? And then how could I give that to someone who's in need? And maybe that means reaching out to an organization or to a person and being like, hey, I'm really good at whatever, making meals. Can I make a meal for you every Friday? Or I'm really good at social media, or I'm really good at whatever. Can I help? Right.
I like those ideas. Mm-hmm. The hope, I think, within the church is that this Lenten mission, as they call it sometimes, or this Lenten practice, is ultimately so that I think less of myself and more of others, more of God. And so that's hard to do, because I think, and I've totally fallen into this myself, in that like I give things up for like a personal benefit to me. Mm. Mm-hmm. In that I'm like, I would really like to lose weight, so I'm giving up all sugar.
Yep.
Two birds, one stone.
I think this is such a common thing. I think especially for women, right? Mm. They're like, oh, but I mean, we know some of our brothers too, right? Like we have a brother who gave up beer 1 year and then lost like 30 pounds. I'm like, that's so unfair. But anyway.
It'd be my favorite line.
Yeah. But I think that's a really good point, right? Like the mortification we choose for Lent is not meant to be a diet. It's not meant to be just like a personal improvement project. It's not meant to break a bad habit. I think some people often think you can only give up things that are bad habits, like sugar's a bad habit or alcohol's a bad habit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the point. The point of fasting during Lent is to better identify ourselves with Christ on the cross, right? And to fall more in love with Christ on the cross. So if our giving up of chocolate is not getting us there, don't give up chocolate, right? I used to say this all the time to my students when I was teaching, because they'd be like, oh, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent again. And I'd be like, listen, if every time you go to reach for a piece of chocolate and you choose not to because you gave that up for Lent, if you're not remembering our Lord, praying to our Lord, giving that to our Lord, don't give up chocolate. Like it defeats the purpose to just say you have a perfect scorecard of like no chocolate. Like that's not what we're going for here.
Yeah. Well, and I think to some degree it can really be just habitual what I'd give up every year. And it's just because it's like, it's not necessarily that it's easy, but it's not super thought provoking. And the challenge is to be really thoughtful with what I'm giving up. And it's not even about the thing itself, right? Which is what we're talking about. It's about the intention behind it. So, okay, it's already Ash Wednesday or nearly there, and you've already decided what you're giving up. And you're like, well, shoot, I was giving it up because I do want to lose weight and I should cut sugar out. Like all of those things can be true. We're not saying that those things can't be true or that those things cannot be motivators, but we need to kind of rectify our intention in that that's not the primary motivator. Mm-hmm. If you lose weight, kudos to you. Maybe, I don't know if you need it. If you get a little healthier in the process, great. Gold star. If you don't grow closer to our Lord, if you don't learn how to be comfortable with discomfort, how to unite yourself to the cross, and how to accept suffering, we've missed it. And it's not like you're bad. It's we just miss an opportunity to grow deeply in relationship with our Lord.
Right. And I think too, like that we've wasted the grace of this season. Right. That like each season in the church, each moment in our lives comes with particular graces. Right. And so Lent has particular graces that are coming. But yeah, I mean, I think fasting is a beautiful thing, or some kind of mortification along those lines that we do during Lent. And so I think it's really good for us to do that and to practice it, Lent and beyond, but to make sure that we're doing it in a way that's bringing us closer to our Lord.
Yeah. And that is that's a process. You know, even if we start with this intention of this will bring me closer to our Lord, because when my alarm goes off and I don't hit snooze because that's what I've given up, and I like say an affirmation, you know, eventually not hitting snooze is going to become a habit. So it's going to require a recommitment and an acknowledgement, right, throughout our day of like, oh yeah, wait, I like didn't offer that up. Okay, I'm going to do that now, right? There is no time with God. And so we can retroactively amend, right, our intentions and kind of check back in with ourselves, right? That like, this isn't becoming a habit. This isn't becoming, you know, just something that's simple and I forget about it. And so can I continue to check back in. Can I continue to reaffirm my yes? Can I continue to offer this up to God? And I'm going to fail and I'm going to fall short and I'm going to pick myself up and I'm going to begin again.
Right. And I think too, like two things thinking of that, like, okay, so let's say you're like, yeah, okay, but I decided to give up chocolate. Okay, fine. So, but then like you were saying, like, then we have to do an aspiration every time we want chocolate, or we're reaching for it and we choose not to have it, or we turn down that cupcake, right? Like we have to turn that mortification into prayer, right? Like I'm giving this to you, Lord, instead of just like, no, I can't. I gave it up for Lent. Right. So like keeping that in mind. And then I think too, I think one of the things that, and I think maybe this comes from childhood, especially if you were like a cradle Catholic, right? You gave up your thing. You probably told your parents what it was. And then like they helped you keep that and you like didn't do it. And I can remember being really proud. This is probably the like type A in me, but like I can remember being really proud getting through all the way to the end of Lent and being like, I never had any candy or I never had dessert. Like, I would be so proud of that, right? But I think now as adults, if that was you, like you and I were our kindred spirits, clearly that was not Monica because she's like the rebel personality.
I don't think I've ever made it through Lent without failing on my intention. And I've had to be like, Lord,
hilarious.
Here we go again. Yeah. Well,
but this is to my point. I think sometimes we can be caught in the like, whatever I decided to give up on Ash Wednesday and I told our Lord I was giving up or I was doing or then I got to do that the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think that's not always the case, right? Because sometimes maybe what you gave up becomes really easy by the second week of Lent and you got 40 days of this. So maybe that means you need to adjust, or maybe that thing you chose to give up or that thing you chose to do, that prayer you decided to do, helping you deepen your relationship with our Lord, then you need to adjust course. Yeah. So it's not about being able to say, I did this for 40 days or I struggled to do this for 40 days. It's about, am I a holier, better person, more aligned with Christ? Am I closer to him at the end of Lent when I hit Easter than I was on Ash Wednesday? Like that is the ultimate question
and I think what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that this point speaks to something really important. And I think this is the reading every Ash Wednesday or thereabouts somewhere in Lent. For sure, we hear that, you know, you should not look as if you're fasting.
Yes.
This is not for public praise, right? For everybody to know. And so sometimes if your mortification is going to mortify others and throw a wrench in their life, we may need to just be cognizant of the situation and say, I'll give something else up today because, yeah. For example, like if you're giving up, like, I don't know, sugar, but you're invited to this birthday party and there's no other options. And everyone's like, what do you mean? I made you this thing. Like, why would, and it's going to become this whole like hassle. Give something else up. And maybe the mortification is that you're not going to stick with it and you're going to like take the bullet and you're going to have that piece of cake and you're going to say, thank you so much for your generosity. Right. And we're going to move on with our life.
Right. Yeah. Like I know somebody who they were celebrating like a family birthday and one of the people who was attending had like a really particular diet. So she had made her something special for that diet so that she could celebrate with everybody else, but not have the cupcakes because she couldn't eat them, whatever, whatever. And then the woman came and shows up and she's like, oh no, I gave up all sweets for Lent. And she's like, oh, and she's like, but you could probably put it in the freezer and I could have it after Lent. Like that's not what Lent is getting us to, right? Like that's not caring for another. That's not Christ-centered. It would have been more Christ-centered really to eat that because the person had spent all this time making it specifically for you, for your special diet, not knowing you'd given up even more for Lent, and then offer something else up, right? And be very grateful, right? Pray for the person who made you that cupcake as you're eating that cupcake, right? Like that is better than being like, no. It's against what I gave up for Lent, right? Like I can't do that.
Right. And there are times, right, where that self-denial is going to be great in that. Yeah, if you gave up alcohol and then you went out for funsies to a bar with your friends, you're sort of asking for it. You're going to have to say no, and that's going to be uncomfortable. And that's okay. But the point is constantly kind of checking in with yourself and asking how this is affecting your living relationship with God, right? Because that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. The church wants you to have a deep, active relationship with our Lord, a living, authentic relationship with our Lord. And this is a season that, although difficult, helps us get there. Right. And so this litmus test throughout all of Lent, like in picking your mortifications and starting out on Ash Wednesday and following through to Good Friday, the question is this helping me grow closer to our Lord?
No, it's true. I think I think that too is probably why we're asked to do alms as well, right? Because mm-hmm. alms, giving to another person is seeing Christ in another.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're being asked to not only try and better identify ourselves with Christ, right? To try and get to the end of Lent looking more like Christ, Christ on the cross, but we're also asked to see Christ in others mm-hmm. through giving, right? Through that kind of a thing. And so, you know, that's a really crucial part of Lent. And we have to make sure that we're tapping into that. And then I think too, the prayer component, I think, is an often overlooked portion of
Very
Lent.
Much.
Right? Like maybe people are like, okay, I know what I'm doing for fasting. I know what I got for my mortifications. Okay, I could give a little bit more money in the collection plate on Sundays or basket. They're baskets now. But prayer, like what are we doing? How is our prayer different? How is it changing? And maybe it doesn't mean adding more prayer to our lives. Maybe it means being consistent with our prayer. Maybe it means doing our prayer in an adoration chapel instead of on our couch. Maybe it means just trying to give more focus to our prayer, more attention to it, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be like, okay, I'm adding all decades of the rosary.
Gosh, yeah.
All 20 now, you know? Yeah, like, it doesn't have to be that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it. We want to shift away from this external view of checking boxes and how this looks and doing the best and doing the most to a question of like, well, can I do the deepest?
Mm.
Can I love others deeply in my almsgiving? And that is going to be that I'm checking in with like the roots and I'm going deep, not I'm doing this like big thing, right? You can do really great things with like depth and with love. Like, am I adding love into these areas? And so the question is like, am I adding love into my mortifications? Am mm-hmm. I adding love and depth into my almsgiving? Am I adding love and depth into my prayer? And so maybe you don't need to add more prayers, but maybe they need to be more mindful, or maybe there needs to be a depth to them that there wasn't before.
Yeah.
And can I challenge myself to grow in those areas, because it's going to be kind of in that silence and in that depth that we find discomfort, and it's mm-hmm. in discomfort that we grow.
Sure. Okay, I'm curious, Monica, share some mortification, fasting type things that you know you've done or others have done that you were like, oh, this is actually a really good one. Because I think like, let's help people kind of think a little bit outside of the box for these kinds of things. Because I think often we're always like, just food. I'm not having desserts anymore, or I'm not putting sugar in my coffee. Like, fine. But like, what are others that you've heard that you're like, ooh, I like this?
I will say I have given up alcohol, which for me is difficult because I'm a very, very social person. And that's particularly difficult when you're in a season of dating.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found is, and this is because I just am a very, I don't know, deep thinker, and I like conflict and confrontation. I'm like, let's talk. It starts really good conversation on dates. And I'm like, funny story. So I will say that. That's hard. That one's hard, though. I find that difficult if you're a social person or if you're kind of in this season where you're dating. But I think people, the other one that I was like, oh, this is difficult. They cut music out while in the car.
Well, I was going to say that one.
That is hard.
Well, and like music or sounds in general, like not podcasts, like not audiobooks. They're just driving in silence or praying the rosary or whatever, like taking that time. I've done that a couple of lengths because I was like, I just think I have too much music in my life. And so I'd done it music specifically. So I actually listened to a lot more audiobooks, and that's how I got into audiobook listening. But it's hard. It's really hard for people who are really into it. Or if you don't commute, maybe it's, you know, you have certain hours that you don't listen to Spotify or you don't have your headphones in, or, you know, if you have certain tasks that you always do with music to do it without. That's a hard one.
I know certain people who have slept without a pillow, which low-key could not be me, because we need to think about this. Then you're just going to be a grump.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's like the people who give up coffee and then are like total nightmares for the first 2 weeks. Like, your mortifications aren't supposed to mortify others. Like, calm down.
Just make you a better person, and you're like acting like a witch. That was me. I gave up coffee 1 year. I was actually coaching and my team was like,
what's wrong with you?
Coach. I'm like, get on the line.
I have a friend here in St. Louis who gives up the seat warmers in her car and pre-starting her car, which honestly, like, St. Louis doesn't, like, half of Lent is probably not super cold.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's a good one. Especially people who are like up in the Chicagoland area or anybody north, like, ditch your seat warmers. Mm-hmm. Rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ability to give up little discomforts, like, or little comforts for discomfort is really a game changer. Honestly, this is psychologically valid as well, because in part, what does this do? It builds my distress tolerance, my ability to handle this discomfort. And why? Like, why does the church say, like, these little mortifications and these things are good? Well, because if I can tolerate discomfort and I can tolerate distress, I can actually weather the storms much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is a challenge for me to think less of myself and rely less on myself and to rely more on God and bring him into the process and accept that, like, life is messy. I think people have a very hard time today because the world is extremely comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We have created, through intelligence and through our advancements, through incredible, incredible things, an extremely comfortable world.
Yep.
And while there's a lot of beauty and benefit in that, we run the risk of being lulled into this false sense of security and complacency that the world is comfortable and I shouldn't have to suffer. And it's really a favor the church does us in this Lenten season that reminds us of, like, hey, life is hard and there's suffering, so embrace it and it'll be easier.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, you know, like, little things. Like, I've heard someone recently say that they're no longer, like, ordering anything to the house. So no more Amazon, no more Temu, no more Shein, no more DoorDash. Like, that's what they're giving up. And I was like, it's actually kind of genius, because it actually probably is going to save you money in the long run. But it also just forces you to, like, kill some of that instant gratification that I can just get on and I can order one thing from Amazon and then I can get on 12 hours later and order one thing from Amazon. And, like, what's the big deal? Like, it's just, it'll get delivered, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, to that, like, just getting rid of that comfort, that ease, that instant gratification, because life is messy. And then we're a lot more able to cope with those moments if we've built in some of those throughout our day instead of just living in that stress.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Okay. So maybe a thought project. You know what? I think sometimes the best way to decide is just kind of looking at your life and saying, where are maybe some of the deficits or the areas of growth? Okay. What mortifications would help that area grow?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what's your predominant defect? Sorry, not default. Defect, right? Or what are some of your major vices? And then pick a couple of things that will help you grow in virtue to combat that.
Yeah. And then you can just, you know, add your prayer can tag onto that. The almsgiving can tag onto that, right? And that, you know, if we pick maybe a specific lane, everything can complement that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think whether you're listening to this, you know, when it drops on Mardi Gras, or you're listening to it, you know, Ash Wednesday or after, feel free to adjust what your Lenten thing is, because you want this to be the best, holiest Lent of your life, right? That you want to be able to get to Good Friday and meet Christ on the cross, like, carrying your cross for him, right? And, like, that's what we want for Lent to be, and, like, we want to get there. So I think, you know, feel free, adjust throughout Lent, but especially, you know, adjust to make this your best Lent possible.
That's it for this week on Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you, and this season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review. It helps more women like you find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media or shoot us an email. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.